day. Good morning, everyone. This is a program brought to you with the compliments of Family Fear Freedom Barbados, and we're also working alongside Fellow Mortal Spirits, as well as the Nazarene Church of Barbados District. And we want to look at some interesting topics over the next 5 weeks, but we'll begin this morning with one that has probably captured the attention of many Barbadians over the recent months as relates to instances of crimes that we've been seeing, as well as the general morale and social instability in this country. That topic being family. This morning we have a wonderful young lady who will share with us some information from her heart as relates to what the topic of family means to her. And we're going to try to tie that in to what the biblical perspective says on the family unit. We have as our guest this morning the lovely Ruel Marvel Mathurin, and she's also my wife, by the way. And I'm going to be hosting this program this morning. My name is Ryan Mathurin. Sister Ruel, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. And how are you, Ryan?
I'm fine as well. And you can hear her wonderful voice, so it's going to be a joy sharing with her this morning. We're going to have three questions we're going to ask this young lady. And the first one being, would you agree with the statement that families in Barbados are broken?
Well, that is a broad statement because you said families. I will not agree that all families, because that statement is all. Some families in Barbados are broken, and we are seeing it more prevalent every day. We have social media, and this is a different day and age, so we're going to see it much more regularly. But I would agree, as a early childhood educator, I can see the differences in families as years go by, as I teach different children and different times and different years. Yes, I would say that there are many broken families in Barbados.
Wonderful and very articulate and very well said. Now, I know you said it's a broad statement, and I know that sometimes one can run the risk of making generalities based upon observations. Would you say that this applies to all the racial groups in Barbados? In other words, would you say that that applies to local Barbadians, black Barbadians, white Barbadians, East Indian community as well, as relates to this concept of broken families, based upon your experience and your observations?
Well, obviously, with the other families, the East Indians, it will just be by observation. And I realize that you do see some breakdown in the families as opposed to what they did before and how they raised children as to how they are raised now, but it's not much of a breakdown. In terms of black Barbadians, because we're specifically speaking about Barbadians, yes, I would see the breakdown is more prevalent in terms of black persons. I find with the East Indian family, they always had a structure. They have a strong history, and they pass down that history to their children. However, there are some who may stray away a bit, but they still hold fast to the rituals and the heritage that would have been passed down from their grandparents to the mother, father, you know, all that stuff. In our society now, we find that there's not much of a passing down in Barbadian's black society. Many children have free will to do so many different things as opposed to way back when, probably in my grandmother's time. And there's nothing significantly wrong with that. But the values and morals, though, have taken an all-time low. And I'm going to say that in some families, the values and morals, things like saying thank you, these little things that we have to really try really hard for children to say thank you, excuse me, pardon me, even chivalrous things like opening doors and saying excuse me to a lady, how to treat a lady. It seems like everything is placed in one basket and you get to choose however you feel like behaving. So it is a difference in, you know, different nationalities. I will leave it at that.
You are touching on something that's very interesting, because you mentioned what has been passed down. And as a people trying to determine their future, recognizing that we've gone through a process of transition, we've gone from being a quote-unquote colonized nation, now we boast of being a republic, we have a lot of history to look back on. And my next question ties into that. It ties into the role of the woman in the family. Because as Barbadians, you recognize that over the last couple of decades, the woman has been a crucial part of many families. We know that even among our parents and grandparents, women have been the one that persons have been looking to for direction. They're looking for counsel, for wisdom, etc. So my next question would be, As a woman, do you feel the present family structure in this country is either detrimental or beneficial to the female population?
That is such an interesting question, because you said this age.
Mm-hmm.
I would have remembered being in a class years ago. In a class, we had a discussion pertaining to this question, but it was more general than that. And the conclusion that we came to was that there were single parent homes way back then. Obviously, the single parents would have been mothers. Many of the males would have probably gone fishing. Many of them were building the Panama Canal. Many of them were in other islands working as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we always had a situation in Barbados where there was a single parent family, which were the women.
Yes.
We always were. The difference, however, and I'm going back to the morals and values again, the morals and value have changed. Not to say that having a single parent family back then did not affect the family structure. It mm-hmm. probably did. And that is probably why maybe we are receiving the repercussions today,
mm-hmm.
because the same passing down has not been done. We were so, and there's nothing wrong with them, we were so concerned our children having, you know, the best education, because
yes.
they did
yes.
not have
yes.
the best education, that they did what the others did. And I'm not going to call what the others are, but what the others did.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
if that's dropping down, you know, not really having that much, you know, morals and values, well, do that for the sake of education, because you need to have a better life, meaning you need to have all the amenities, you need to have the money to do what you have to do. You didn't have to work really hard to get the little pennies or suffer all of these things, even health-wise, because money is important when you're taking care of your health. So when you say if it is a plus or addition or deficit, basically,
mm-hmm. to the females,
to the females in population, I would say that the females have always been, a lot of them has always been head of households. What I'm saying now is that men has stepped up to the plate in terms of raising their children, and openly mm-hmm. is not something that you would see inside the homes. And as
right.
I said, I've been very blessed to be an educator, and I would have seen when I first started teaching that you would hardly see the men come picking up their children, or men being involved in sports or involved in PTAs. But now you're seeing most men doing it, and they're very interested in their children's all around well-being, not only education. So I'm going to say that women have a role to play. I know I kind of dancing around the question,
mm-hmm.
but women have a role to play. In this age, however, I find that there are some families where the single parents' families, women are struggling. Some of the men are not there for their young
mm-hmm,
people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Ryan, you and I work in the community on a regular basis, and we see that happening as well. We see that a lot of females are struggling hard. I mean, they mentally, physically, spiritually, there is a void. And we can see how it affects the young people. And we could see the difference with a child who has mother, father in the house present. Because sometimes people are not present. They might be present physically, but not present spiritually or mentally.
Mm.
And when you see a family that is present, so you will find the children behave differently. The society is different. The surroundings are different. So women played an important part, yes. But I think in today's society, pertaining to if it is detrimental, I think that we need a very strong family structure in terms of mommy, daddy, even granny in the house, because that's what it used to be. You would have a grandmother in the house guiding the young people, guiding the mother, helping out the father. Now you might see the granny going partying the same place the mother going partying, or the children.
Mm-hmm.
So you may not have that structure in some of the households.
Wonderful. And I like the point you raised concerning the fact, the pressure that the women are under in these times. And as you rightly said, that for me is something that we see a lot in our communities. And it shows up perhaps most when you have young persons that are either in the justice system, they're facing prosecution, or they're involved in some crime and there's a murder, there's an incident of violence. And one recognizes, one hardly ever sees the father of these young men in most cases. one always sees a mother who's either crying, a mother who is there before the cameras and she's wondering why this has happened to her son or perhaps happened to her daughter. And what you raised in your last point about the tradition we have of the support coming to women, because we have this impression that the mother has always been, or should I say the mother has been alone in doing or raising children for a long time. But when one looks closely at history, one recognizes that yes, the mother would have been the one who was physically in the home. But as you rightly said, there would have been relatives and extended family structure that would have supported that woman in her role. And now we are seeing a shift. We are seeing a shift where you have females, but it appears as though these females are on their own. And I'm speaking from the standpoint, as you rightly said, where you have perhaps grandmothers, aunts, and uncles who are out doing basically their own thing. And that individual woman perhaps has 3, 4, 5 children, and she's struggling. So my question is based around that. And I think you answered beautifully. And I want to go back to the first one to tell you the second one again. What does this say about us as a people, do you think? The fact that we have so many of our women that are struggling. The fact that we have so many of our other relatives who perhaps could be assisting in the role of parenting. The fact that when we look at the East Indian community that is not indigenous to this country, but they have moved in, they have established themselves, and we see a broader base of individuals in that support system. We see a broader base of uncles, aunts, grandmothers who are physically in the home, but they're also spiritually in the home where they share. They have a communal structure. What does that say to us as Black Barbadians about where we are as families? What would you say to that?
Again, I would go back in history. I always say this, you know, and people always laugh at me, but slavery has played a very important part of how we live our lives today. And slavery has done horrific things to our mind, mm-hmm. how we mm-hmm. think. Mm-hmm. Physically, yes, but to our mind, that we think that we need to separate from each other in yes. order to survive.
Yes.
Now you have education, which I agree with. Being educated, it is a very powerful tool. And you would find that there are many, even the East Indians, they are educated as well. Actually, many East Indians in Barbados are doctors.
Correct.
And a lot of female are doctors as well. But because it has been passed down to them, they could be a doctor, a lawyer, a business owner. They are still going to go to mosque. They're still going to shut down their business and pray. They are still going to do that because it has been passed down and instilled. We may have passed down things to our children, our families. And once we pass down really well is education. So for me, as a female, we are told you have to be independent. Do not be depend on no man for nothing. Get your education. So therefore, we have this mindset as, you know what, I'm seeing so many broken, and we haven't even started our marriages. I have seen so many broken relationships with my mother and my father. My mother left my father left my mother. So you know what, I have to fend for myself. So we see a lot of Black Barbadian females educating themselves and raising their children on their own, because there are times when the man is not in the lives to help financially raise them. So the mindset there now is, I have to do this on my own.
Yes.
And it's quite unfortunate, because although there may be some females who can financially provide for their children, a void is always missing.
Mm-hmm.
A
mm-hmm.
void is always missing. And that void is the family. And then there's sometimes a breakdown between the mother. And I know this from experience as being an early childhood educator. Court has to come in mm-hmm, mm-hmm. to restrain the father from visiting the mother. And it happens in the Black community so regularly that it hurts my heart literally to see these things happening. Because when we are caught up in this back and forth with each other, the child is there wondering what is going on. And then you see behavior starting to come from out of these children, anger, hitting, biting, scratching, depression, child in a corner, mm-hmm, and you're mm-hmm. trying to figure out what happened. So as a teacher now, you go to a parent and you said, is something happening at home? And sometimes, you know, we try to mask it, but then it comes out, yes, there's a situation that happened, da-da-da, and this thing, that thing, third. So now, instead of the family coming together, now you have other organizations coming as family. The school, maybe you have to go to family planning, child care board now. So it's no longer, and these are important organizations, mind you. But I believe that most things begin in the family, where you develop the way you speak. Even education, there are one or two persons who may be the first persons in their family who may have gone on to university. And that is a great thing. Don't get me wrong. Education is great. And I would advise everyone to get an education. It increases your knowledge. It helps to empower you as a person. But when we're speaking about family, no amount of degrees, no amount of education. You could be educated to doctorate, PhD. You could be educated as much as you can. If you don't have that family structure, there will always be something missing in your life. And then you might go on searching. It might not fall on you. It might fall on your children. There's so many social workers that I would have spoken to, and the things that are happening, even deaths. You're talking about violence. We don't think that there's a child who lost a father or a brother or uncle, but yet has to go to school and deal with this.
Exactly.
So now there's somebody missing from their family. How is the family going to come together? Because everybody in the family mourning now. Can they support each other? The grandmother might not be there. Father might not be there. So now this young man, this young girl now, has to try to deal with this situation on her own, because the family ain't there. So then you know what creeps in? The fellas from the block, come and breathe with me, man. Come. Take your mind off there. Come for a little spliff. Let you shake off this thing. So, you know, I know we do not have enough time to really talk about it. So I'm just trying to condense it a bit. But it's so much that is going on. I don't think I even said half of what I wanted to say. But basically, that's it for now for me.
You've only scratched the surface, as we have only scratched the surface this morning. And I want to tie in two important points that you raised. The separation that we have and the fact that you made a very crucial observation that when we see particular young persons and we see families that have a broken structure, and that broken structure simply refers to the fact there are crucial elements that are missing, you can see behavior patterns forming. And it's not by coincidence that we often see black Barbadians in the penal system. It's not by coincidence we often see the East Indian community having thriving businesses where they have their young persons in their businesses as well. We hardly see any members of that community being hauled before the law courts on a regular basis concerning petty theft, concerning crime, concerning assault, concerning all the other issues we have as black. I'm using that word intentionally because we have to be honest in these matters. And I want to go to something you raised in your comments. We haven't even touched on marriage. That's the statement you made. And my last question perhaps will allow us to discuss that a little more fully. How do we move from where we are right now, based upon all that we've discussed, all the areas, what we've passed down, our separation, where we feel as though we have to be apart to make it? How do we transition? How do we move from this place where we are? And we're speaking specifically to those families that are in this country that are broken, the young people that are broken, the parents that are broken, that don't realize that they may be broken because they may say, well, look, I still have my job, I still have my career, I have my house, I have my vehicle. But spiritually, we are broken because there's not that cohesiveness. We are missing the elements that God has established in His Word. So how do we move from where we are right now to a family that reflects the biblical structure that God Himself has established? How do we get there, Sister Ron?
Well, when you asked me that question, I was thinking about two things. I was thinking about the accounting Bible where Moses says, teach your children when they're standing, when they're sitting.
Yes.
I was thinking about that. And also I was thinking about years ago, children had to go to church.
That is so true.
But there's a positive and a negative of it. We told them they had to go to church, but we didn't go with them. We sent children to church and we did not teach them anything. This is what you do. So when you said that, how do we get to a place? Were we ever in that place in the first place? That's what I'm asking. I am not saying that there are not families who their children are in church and these parents are making sure that these children do the Bible studies. I know there are so many parents, and I thank you so much for knowing that this is what you should do, mummies and daddies and aunties and uncles. I see it in my church where families come together and they teach the children the ways of God. But there are a group of persons who they would send their children to church by an auntie or uncle, but then they go back to the same environment. And it seems that you have to do it all over again, all over again, all over again. So when you ask that question, were we ever there? How can we get there now? How can we get there? How can we get there is by we as people of God. And this may ruffle some feathers now. Going out into the community and seeking these people. What did the Bible said? Go ye therefore into the world and make disciples. How do we disciples? By going out in the community, forming relationships first of all. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we go in community and we got a bullhorn, the end is near, come to Jesus now. And then we go back to our churches. We don't come and say, is there a need that we can help you with? Would you be interested in us coming to your home and doing a Bible study for half an hour? Would you want us, you know, this is what Jesus did, you know. Jesus was concerned about the total person. He was concerned of the heart. And he was concerned of the physical. The feeding of the 5, he could have told the people, look, I finished preaching now, so go home. He didn't say that. He made sure that they were well fed. And you know what? Let me show you a miracle now. A miracle gonna happen today. Because he's Jesus after all. But we need to look at the total person. The person who is hurting. The person who is jobless. How do we get jobs for these persons? The person who may be illiterate, cannot read. There are many people in Barbados who cannot read.
Yes.
How do we get the children behaviors to stop? It cannot happen in one day. So how do we get back? By reading the Bible and reading what God said in his word and what Jesus did when he was on earth. He went to the people. He was always around the people. There are times he went by himself, and we know those accounts. But he was always around people, making sure that they knew about God. And this is not just people who look prim and proper. He went to the vagrants. He went to prostitutes. He went to persons. And he cared about them. People can see when you do not care. So many people may have a rejection to church because of how some of us, and it's a minority, mind you, some of us may treat them because they do not look or speak the way we would like them to speak. Instead of looking at the heart, which we should have known better than that, we look at the physical appearance and we judge them immediately, and it shows on our face and what we see. So how to get that? Start really reading your word, though. Meditating on your word, praying, fasting, asking God to direct you where to go and what to do. We should be doing this in churches all of the time. I know we in church do that. And we should be outside on a regular basis, even if we are not in our church settings on Sundays. But what we can do in our neighborhood, we have a neighbor next door. Start with your neighbor. And bring your children along with you so they can see. So that they can emulate what you have done, because that's something that they should be emulating. Many times we take children to things that are not positive at all. And then when the children go to school and start gyrating and doing all sorts of things, we say, well, I don't know how he get that done. But when you're on your little house party and the child doing that, you cheering on the child. But then you're telling the child, don't behave so this way here. Do as I say, but not as I do. And this is something that children nowadays are questioning. Why are you telling me not to do something, but you're doing it as well? So we are living in a different age. It cannot be the same as before. We have to do things differently. We're living in an age where we have social media in our faces 24/7. So children are learning quickly and not understanding what they're learning. So they're digesting things and think that it is the right thing, when really and truly they're not getting the guidance from the family. So how do we change it? We change it by, as a church, using the same multimedia as an asset. Doing things in the multimedia that could help us to grow as a church and to help each other.
Amen. And as we conclude, I just want to pick up on crucial points that you would have made. The fact that we have to be more intentional as a church in what we're doing as it relates to those that may not know Christ. And perhaps the greatest indictment on us as a church is the fact that despite the apparent breaking down of families in this country, we should be highlighting the families that we have established in our churches. And these should be examples to others. And I believe that's the gist of what you were sharing. And the point that you raised concerning if we were ever there, it is something to consider. Because we have to look at what God established in His Word. We have to look at that family structure, the marriage aspect. Even now where marriages are so much under threat, because we have a lot of strange scenarios coming into our understanding as to what marriage means. We have to look at what God established. And we have to ask ourselves, where are so many of us as people against the marriage concept and as well as the marriage as itself stands? So we want to conclude there. We want to give thanks to our sister, Royal Marvel Mathering. We also want to give thanks again to fellow Mortar Spirits and also the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District for allowing us to have this program.
Heavenly Father, this morning, it is your desire for us to have strong families built upon the foundation of your word, because strong society is built on strong family units. And I pray, dear God, that the information given in this program will motivate us to get back to what you want us to do, to nurture the children in the firm admonition of the Lord and to obey you, so that we can get back strong societies and strong units built upon your word. Bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Because he lives.